Welcome to the Bridge DFW podcast. The Bridge is a community of young adults and a ministry of Eagle Mountain Church. You can find out more at thebridgedfw.com.
Well, we are in the middle of our series called Hallowed, where we have been diving into and dissecting and pulling apart and focusing on the Lord's Prayer, which really and truly, if you've been here, you've heard me say this, that really and truly, it's not just the Lord's Prayer, but it's really the believer's prayer. Because Jesus didn't say, hey, this is how I pray. He said, hey, this is how you should pray. Although I believe Jesus prayed like that, he gave us the model. And he said, in this manner, pray. Which means with this template, in this way, with this being your guide. And so tonight we're going to go a little bit deeper into that, see a little bit more about how Jesus taught us to pray. And I just want to say this, in case you were planning or thinking of taking a late summer vacation and missing the next service, you do not want to miss, because next service is going to be off the chain. It's going to be B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Anybody remember that song? Okay, maybe I'm too old. That's spelled bananas, by the way, for those of you that maybe are like B-A-N. I'm saying next week is going to be awesome, all right? So you don't want to miss it. Bring a friend. Invite everybody. But tonight, first I want to talk to you from a message entitled The Everyday God. The Everyday God. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this time tonight, God. We just invite you, even though you were already here before a single light came on, before a single note was struck, before a single image was put on the screens behind me. Father, we just say that this service, God, this time is consecrated, God, for us to hear from you, God, not to hear from a man, God, but to hear directly from the throne room of heaven, directly from the Holy Spirit, from your mind to our ears, God. So we say, come, Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. Father, we just thank you that you are continually deepening and widening this community of young adults, God, and knitting our hearts together all the more, God. To be more of like a community, God, more like the church in Acts 2, God, that bears each other's burdens, God, and prays for one another. So, God, we pray that you would continue to heal Tony Romo, God, and whatever grace you poured out on the Cowboys last week, God, continue to do it whenever we play the next team that's going to get demolished on Sunday, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. And I didn't really hear a good amen over here. I think... yeah, y'all aren't Cowboys fans or something. Like, ushers, let's get them out. I'm just kidding. Security. The everyday God. The everyday God. Well, if you've been around the last couple services, how we've been doing this is we've been starting the service out by reading the Lord's Prayer together, right? A lot of you maybe have memorized it, but we're going to say it anyway. So we're going to throw it on the screens behind me, and we're going to be reading from Matthew 6 and verse, chapter 6 and verse 9. And it starts out like this. Say it with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we've been focusing on one line at a time in the Lord's Prayer. We've been going line upon line, precept upon precept, dissecting words, finding out what Jesus was trying to say. And so tonight we're going to be focusing specifically on verse 11, where it says, give us this day our daily bread. So let's try it again. And this time, whenever you repeat verse 11, I want you to say it just loud enough that the person next to you thinks, man, I think that was a little too loud. Like, just kind of weird them out a little bit. So we're going to say verse 11, which is, give us this day our daily bread. So on the count of three, let's say it together. One, two, three. Give us this day our daily bread. Man, so you guys can get loud. That's what we should do every time. Amen? Can y'all commit to me that for next week? Amen. All right, all right. So number one in your notes is this. God wants us to pray for natural provision. God wants us, he wants us, not just he recommends, he wants us to pray for natural provision. You know, it is not wrong to pray for good things to happen in your life. It's not wrong to pray for a nice place to live. It's not wrong to pray for a car that doesn't break down every other week, or pray for a car that actually has AC, even though it's late September and we shouldn't be needing the AC, but for some reason it was 103 degrees. I'm just saying, Lord, come on, I'm ready for winter. It's not wrong to pray for a raise in your job. It is not wrong to pray that God would allow you to be in a stable financial situation that you can not only bless yourself, but also bless others and bless the kingdom. Amen. That is not selfish. That is what God wants us to do, and that is what Jesus teaches us to do. He says, give us this day. He's teaching us to make requests of God. If you remember last week, we said that word is petition, to make petitions of God. Give us this day our daily bread, Jesus teaches us. And God loves to give. God is a giver. He's a provider. You know, all the names that we have to give illustration to who God is in our lives, names that God gives himself, you know, some of you might know them. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord is our righteousness. Jehovah Nisi, our God is a banner over us, our protection. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord is our healer. How many of you are thankful for that? Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. That is where we get the verse, he is an ever-present help in time of need. Whenever you're in need, he is right there with you. He's Jehovah Shammah. But the very first word, the very first name that God reveals himself as is none other than Jehovah Jireh. Did you know that in scripture, the very first word that God uses to describe himself is Jehovah Jireh, which means what? Our God is provider. God wants us to see him as our provider, not our job, not America, right? Not whoever it is that signs your paycheck, but God. That's the only place that we'll be successful in life is if we always see God as our true provider, as our true source. You know, most theologians believe that the statement that Jesus was referencing in verse 11, whenever he says, give us this day our daily bread, he's referencing Exodus. And if any of you are theologians or scholars, you know that Jesus quoted more than from any other book in the Bible. He quoted the most from Deuteronomy. But in this particular statement, most theologians believe that Jesus is copying and quoting from the story in Exodus 16. And I'll read that for you. It's Exodus 16 and verse 4. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, remember that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather, watch this, daily. So we see those two words show up again, day and daily. You know, God wanted the children of Israel to depend on him. He had brought them out of captivity. Many of you know the story. Maybe many of you have only seen it because it was on the Ten Commandments, the movie with Charlton Heston, which, by the way, there was a couple biblical inaccuracies, but I'm not going to go there. It was a great movie, right? One of the most popular movies of all time. But we see these same words day and daily there. And God did that because he wanted the Israelites to focus on him, to depend on him, to ask him every single day. And in the same way, God wants us to depend on him daily. God wants us to not try and hoard things and hoard our finances and, you know, try and keep our time and not give here and not do this and not do that for God because, you know, then we won't have enough time for our life, God. And that's exactly what God was saying to the Israelites. Don't get it twisted. The very same God that brought you out of captivity is the one that's going to get you into the promised land. But you got to trust me step by step. How many of you know if God were to give us the entire plan, we probably wouldn't believe it, right? Many of you can think about your journey and maybe how you got here. Maybe how you became a Christian. Maybe how you know, graduated high school whenever nothing looked like you were going to. Or maybe you graduated college. Or maybe some of you have a job right now that you thought, man, there is no way 5 years ago I would ever have been in this job. And if God would have told you exactly how he was going to do it and show you the end result, you would have been freaked out. Imagine if God would have told Moses, hey, Moses, you know, you're going to start running towards, you know, this big, you know, ocean thing. And, you know, I'm going to kind of split it, but, you know, you're going to walk across on dry land. Moses would have been like, man, that wine was really, really strong. I don't know what, God, is that you? Or I don't know. But anytime we start looking to anything else as our source other than God, we're headed down a path of destruction. Does anybody have that experience? Anytime you start looking to anything or anybody for your fulfillment, for your happiness, for your joy, for your identity, for your security in life, anytime you start looking to something or someone other than God, you are headed down a bad road that's only going to lead to destruction, depression, and some other D words that I can't think of at the moment. But so think about this, right? God says, give us this day our daily bread. Why is that? Well, think about it. We have to eat every day, right? Right? Or 5, 6, 7 times a day, you know, for some of us, you know, maybe less for others. But God created us that way. That was a joke, by the way. People were like, whoa, am I supposed to be eating 5 or 6 times a day? Like Google, like people are Googling it. But God created us that way. He created us to have to eat every single day. Am I right? Does anybody see where we're going here, right? Why didn't he create us to only have to eat monthly? Why didn't he create us to only have to eat weekly? Right? Maybe some parents, if you've had newborns, maybe you would have wished that they would have only had to eat weekly, because that means you only had to wake up one time a week in the middle of the night to feed them multiple times, right? Okay, we don't have that many parents here. You'll get that in a few years. He designed us this way to depend on him. Watch this, daily. Daily, he wants us to depend on him. Most of us in America, most of us would rather pray, Lord, give us this day our yearly bread, right? Lord, just give me all the money that I'm going to need, and give me all the things that I'm wanting and all the things. Just give me my yearly allotment right now, right? I'll take care of the rest, God. I got this, right? But watch this. Why doesn't God do that? Why doesn't he give us everything we ask for in the moment we ask for it? Why is it sometimes a process, right? And I say this sometimes to some of our volunteer leaders, but I say, if you despise the process, you negate the progress. If you despise the process, you will negate the progress. God is all about taking one step at a time. Just like whenever Jesus called to Peter and said, Peter, come, right? He didn't tell him exactly what was going to happen. He just said, all you got to know right now, Peter, is if you will step out of the boat, I got you, right? And what happened? Peter started getting ahead of what Jesus had told him. He started going, oh man, but there's waves and all that kind of stuff. As if water was already, you know, in Peter's ability to walk on to begin with, you know? Like if it would have been flat seas, Peter would have been good. But the moment he started seeing wind, he was like, I don't know, Jesus. I don't know if I can do this, right? But this is why God wants us to seek after him daily. This is why Jesus teaches us to daily ask for our bread. It's because God wants to talk with us every day. God wants to meet with us every day. He wants to commune with us, right? Your grandparents, they don't just want to see you once a year. Your parents, they don't just want you to visit on holidays, on Easter and on Christmas. Can I get an amen? Amen. Right? Some Christians, that's the only visit that they give to their Father in heaven, is on Easter and Christmas, right? That's not how God wants us to do this thing. He wants us to be in his face every single day. Yeah. But watch this. You notice I said that we have to eat multiple times a day, right? So even though the verse says, give us this day our daily bread, we don't just seek God daily. I don't know about you, but I need him multiple times a day. Matter of fact, I need him all day, every day. Because I don't got it all together. I don't know all the answers. I don't know what to do many times throughout the day, but I just say, God, give me what I need. God, give me the word. God, give me the wisdom. Give me what I need to do, God. Give me the next step. Give me, in this situation, the bread that I need. Is everybody with me? I'll take it a step further. All day, our bodies are working, right? All day, they're secreting and working, and our lungs are pumping, and our heart is beating, and our kidneys are doing some stuff that I don't really know what they're doing, but they're doing something. And all day long, they are burning what? Food, right? So they are, our body all day long is in need of food, not just whenever we eat, right? Not just the 3 times a day. I'll put it like this. A car does not just need gas whenever you stop to fill up at the pump, right? How many of you know, anytime the car is on and you are driving, it needs gas, amen, right? In the same way, our body needs food throughout the day. In the same way, throughout the day, we need God. Not just once a day, Not just three times a day, but I believe all day long, God is wanting us to be in his face, to be thinking about him. Why? Because he's thinking about you. Did you know that? Do you know that the God that is omnipotent and omniscient, he's everywhere and he knows everything. He has to think about the 7 billion people on earth and, you know, take all the different prayer calls and all the different, you know, requests and needs and all these kind of things. But he still is thinking about you all day long, every day. He's still thinking about you all day long, every day. And guess what? The Bible says that we are the apple of his eye. Every single one of us individually. Psalms 139 says this in verse 17. This is David crying out to God. He says, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot even be numbered. There's no way even to count how many thoughts God has about you. They outnumber the grains of sand. God designed him to seek us for everything. God designed us to seek him for everything. Everything. So some of you, you know, you have, you know, your church life and you have the things that you ask God for and believe for. And, you know, you've heard the preacher say, you know, God wants you healed. God wants you, you know, prospering and all these different things. And we think that's all that God wants to get involved in. No, that's not true at all. God wants to be involved in every single part of your life. Every single part of your life. Why? Because that is the breeding ground for intimacy with him. That is the breeding ground for you to come face to face and to fully see God for who he is. And that's the only time that you can then see yourself for who God sees you as. And until we get that, we're going to be spinning our wheels trying to be good Christians, trying to live out this life, trying to do the right thing, but not fully knowing what God has for us. You know, financially, whenever we tithe and give, right? Whenever we step into that, and we begin to sow our seed and give to God financially and do the same thing with our time as we serve in our church and in the bridge, you know, that opens up the floodgates for God to begin to pour out blessing. Did you know that your 90%, well, let me say it this way, if you're trying to hold back from God and not give him what he's asking, if you think that your 100% is gonna go further than the 90% that's been blessed, I just wanna encourage you with this. Just try it. Just try it. For 6 months, for a year, for 1 month, whenever you get paid, just set aside 10% and just see what God will do. Do you know that in Malachi, it's the only place in the Bible where God says, test me? Do you realize that? There's no other place in Scripture where God says, test me. He doesn't say, test me and see if I won't heal you. He doesn't say, test me and see if I won't, you know, keep your family together. He doesn't say, test me and see if I won't give you that job. He says, test me and see if I won't pour out a blessing that you can't even contain about tithing. But guess what? In every area of our life, whenever we offer to God the very thing that he's offered to us, that opens up blessing in every area, every other area. Is everybody with me? God wants us to seek him, not just his hand. God wants us to seek him, not just his hand. But guess what? His hand is part of him. That's why Jesus doesn't say, hey, don't ask God for anything. He doesn't want to do that. He encourages us to ask him daily for our daily bread. I was driving, I think it was yesterday, or I guess it would have had to have been yesterday, past Lit Country School, right down the road here. And I was trying to go 20 miles an hour, you know, through the speed zone. Which, by the way, am I the only one that finds it incredibly hard to only go 20 miles an hour? Like, I'm like, man, I try and set my, you know, what is it, cruise control? Because I'm like, if my foot is on the gas, it's near impossible for me not to go faster than 20. Am I the only one? And here's the funny thing. I wasn't even in a rush to get anywhere. I just, like, going 20 miles an hour and seeing, you know, like, the guy in the little rascal, you know, little powered wheelchair, like, going on the side of the road. I'm like, how is he going faster than me? Like, where's the cop giving this guy a ticket? But this is what's important of all of that. As I'm driving by, I pass a mom and her daughter in a Suburban that are waiting to exit onto the road. And as I passed by, I saw this mom and this daughter, and for an instant, I had a glimpse into their situation. And the mom was kind of sitting there, and I could tell she was eager. I could tell she had her smile on, and she'd probably been waiting all day to talk to her daughter and all those kind of things, but her daughter was here in the passenger seat with her phone like this. Nose buried in the phone. And so the Lord began to speak to me. And I thought, and I'm not saying I'm right, but we don't judge, right? Right? We don't judge. But I thought, what a snot-nosed kid. That's what went through my head. I was like, what a little turd. Like, I wanted to pull the car over and like pull her out and be like, what are you doing? You know, but this is what it was. This is my thought process, right? The very iPhone that she's playing with is where? From her mom, right? The very clothes that she's wearing, where do you think she got them? From her mom, right? The very car that she's riding in, the very air conditioning that she's enjoying is from her mom. But for some reason, she couldn't even talk to her. She was enjoying the blessings that her parent, that her mother had given her, but she couldn't get away from the very thing that she'd been blessed with, to spend some time with the person who had extended their hand of blessing. And so the Lord said, how many times do you do that, Donnie? And I said, oh, man. Doesn't he always? Yeah. God calls me a turd sometimes. But he said, how often do you do that? Right? You want blessings. You want this. You seek my hand, but then you won't even spend time with me. The very reason why I want you to ask every day for daily bread is because I want to give you. I want to bless you. I want to provide for you. I'm Jehovah Jireh, but not just that. I want to spend time with you. I want to commune with you. I want to get face to face and say, Donnie, how was your day? Man, what'd you do today? What'd you learn? Man, how can I help you so that tomorrow will be better than today? That's what God wants to do with every single one of us. Psalm 68:19 says this, praise the Lord. Praise God, our Savior. Watch this. For every day, he carries us in his arms. That young lady was being carried by her mother, but she wasn't communing with her. God wants to commune with us as he carries us. Every day, Psalm 68 says, God carries us. Even on the days whenever you feel like everything went wrong, guess what? You were still in God's arms, and that's a good place to be. But God wants to commune with us. That's part of why he says to daily ask him. Philippians 4:4 in the Message says, celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him, it says. How many of us throughout the day are reveling in God? How many of us, as we're driving from here to there, waiting in line for our egg rolls at Jack in the Box, we're just saying, God, you're so good. You're so amazing, God. The very fact that I'm sitting in a car and able to buy food and choose when I eat and pay with money that I made from a job that you blessed me with. God, look how awesome you are. But what do? Oh, I got 30 seconds for my food's ready. Where's Facebook? Where's Twitter? Let me see what the Kardashians are up to. Let me just say this. Well, not on the Kardashians thing, but on everything else. Every single week when I get up here to speak to you guys, I'm not preaching at you. A matter of fact, I'm preaching to me first. In all reality, really what's happening is I'm up here preaching to myself and you're just kind of eavesdropping over what I'm having, this kind of internal conversation with myself. Is everybody okay with that? Now you know my secret. But watch this. God wants us to ask what we have need of and what we have desire of. Did you know that? Right? Some Christians believe on either end of the spectrum that either, you know, we can ask for, you know, $50 billion and, you know, it should come, you know, the moment we ask for it, just poof right there, right? But what does the Bible say? Seek ye first the kingdom and all these things will be added. So I'm not saying that $50 billion is out of the realm of possibility for anybody in here. Matter of fact, I believe God and I pray that somebody in here will have some kind of business idea, some kind of something that will make $50 billion to help finance the kingdom, to help further the gospel. But then there's also people that are on the other side of the spectrum that say, oh, to have loss is gain and I'm just going to be a poor Christian just like Jesus. And, you know, he walked everywhere, so I'm going to walk everywhere. And I won't drive a car, I won't have air conditioning and all these kind of things, right? That's just ridiculous. That's weird. You know what I mean? It's just weird. God doesn't just want to give us our basic needs. He wants to give us our desires too. But it's all through the filter, remember last week, of through the kingdom, right? What's going to benefit the kingdom? What's going to further the kingdom? What's going to bring God glory and bring Jesus to this place that people see him as attractive? Because he is. Jesus is attractive. Do you know that there's never been one single person in the history of the world that has ever said no to Jesus? They might have said no to Christianity. They might have said no to other Christians that asked them if they wanted to know Jesus. But people don't say no to Jesus. People say no to religion. People say no to the person that they perceive who Jesus is by seeing how Christians live, right? The Christ-like ones. I'm not saying this to spank anybody or anything like that. I'm saying we got to come up to a different place. If the way that we're living, if the way that we're portraying Jesus is not truly who he is in the scripture, then we got to ask God, God, change me. God, shape me, mold me, carve some things away, put some things on. But God, I want to look just like Jesus. And guess what? I believe every single one of us, you've been called to do that. Not just it's possible, not just for some, not just for, you know, people that work at a church or on TV or play on stage. Every single one of us. Every single one of us. Exodus 12, 35. This is where we see that the children of Israel didn't just get manna, right? They didn't just get food, but they got their needs met and their wants met. So watch this, Exodus 12. Some of you maybe have never even seen this. It says, the people of Israel had done what Moses had said, which is what God had told Moses to say. And they had asked the Egyptians for things made of silver and gold and for clothes. Other translations say fine clothes. And the Lord had given the people favor in the eye of the Egyptians. Has any of you heard the verse that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous, right? The Egyptians in this context represent the wicked. And then the Bible says that God gave the children of Israel favor with those wicked people, right? So now watch this. So the Egyptians let them have whatever they asked for. How many of you know that God will give you whatever you ask for whenever it's done in his way, when it's done in his timing, when it's done with his kingdom in mind, when it's done with his people in mind? And watch this. And they took the best things of Egypt. Everybody say the best things. Best things. They took the best things of Egypt. God gave them the best things that Egypt had to offer. The very best. The very people that kept them in captivity, now all of a sudden, some translations and some commentaries say that basically as the children of Israel were leaving, that Egyptians were throwing money at them and saying, here you go, take this. They were throwing gold, they were throwing diamonds and jewels and all kinds of fine things at the Israelites and saying, take this. How many of you know that's a picture of what happened whenever Jesus said, it is finished? He opened up heaven and gave us access to all that God had to offer. Not just finances, not just gold, not just stuff. Don't miss what I'm saying here. He opened up heaven so that we could have relationship with God. Because without relationship with God, all the money, all the stuff, it doesn't matter. How many stars and movie stars and music people and all these kind of stuff, you know, seems like every other day, your little Fox News app pops up on your phone and says, you know, this person died from overdose. You know, this person committed suicide, right? Without God, none of it matters, ladies and gentlemen. No matter what your abilities are, no matter what you're gifted at in life, no matter what you're talented at, no matter who you know, who your family is, without God, none of it matters. Because ultimately, he is our source, and he wants us to look to him. Psalm 105 in verse 37 says, he also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among his tribes. So this shows us that whenever the Israelites left Egypt, that nobody was sick. Nobody was feeble. Some translations say nobody even stumbled. So think about it, right? They're walking through the wilderness. They're walking through the desert. There's all kinds of different sand and all kinds of rocks. And I don't know if you've ever seen Israel or seen Egypt, but that whole area is not the easiest terrain to be walking around in, right? But he said that nobody even stumbled. So every single person that left Egypt was healthy, was well, was strong. So God cares about our finances. He cares about our health. It's not selfish to ask God for those things, right? It's not selfish to ask God for what you desire. Some of you might have heard the story about the little boy that was talking to his dad one day, and he said, "Daddy, I want a little brother." Except because he was still learning English, he said, "A little brother. I want a little brother." And his dad was like, "All right, son, you know, pray. You know, ask God for a little brother." And so, you know, for 1 month, you know, the little kid prayed and, you know, would go and look at mom's stomach, no baby. Second month, he would go and he's praying and went and looked at mom, no baby brother. So third month, he's like, "All right, I'm gonna do this really good." So he woke up even earlier before school to pray, "Jesus, God, let me have a little brother." No brother. So one day, the dad picks the son up from school and takes him to a building and walks in and pulls back a curtain, and there's a little baby sitting in, what are the things called? Bassinet, sure. In a hospital, whatever that thing is. Sitting in a baby holder. And so he goes, "Look, your little brother." The little boy gets excited. "Yeah, my little brother." Dad pulls back the curtain a little bit more, and second little baby. There's another little brother. Pulls back the curtain a little bit more, and a third little baby. He'd had triplets. He now had three little baby brothers. And so the father asked the son, "Son, aren't you glad you prayed?" And the kid said, "Yeah, aren't you glad I stopped after 3 months?" God wants us to ask for the desires of our hearts. That's what I'm getting at. Number two in your notes, and we're going to get through this quick. God wants us to pray for spiritual provision. Number one was God wants us to pray for natural provision. Number two, God wants us to pray for spiritual provision. You know, verse 11 in Matthew 6, "Give us this day our daily bread," has been debated by theologians for centuries. Pretty much almost since the very first time that scripture was recorded and passed on. And the reason I believe that the word bread in verse 11 and what Jesus is teaching, the reason it's not just natural and it's spiritual is because we see time and again in scripture that bread is used in a spiritual context. And for those of you that have been around a church or read your Bible, you may have heard of the showbread, right, in the temple with the priests. And I'll just read to you this. The showbread was also called, watch this, the bread of the presence. Remember that, because it was to always be in the Lord's presence. It says, "The table and the bread were a picture of God's willingness to fellowship and communion with man. It was like an invitation to share a meal, an extension of friendship. Eating together often is an act of fellowship," which fellowship is just a churchy word for hanging out, right? Making friends, meeting new people, enjoying conversation, right? That's why we have groups. That's why we have our guys groups and our girls groups. That's why we get out in the community and play kickball and softball and do all kinds of stuff that's a lot of fun, even if we don't win. Pray for us. All of you online, pray for us. And if you're good at kickball, show up at 101 South Knowles next Monday night, 7 p.m. We need you. Like, for real, we need you. But goes on to say, God was willing for man to enter into his presence to fellowship with him, and this invitation was always open. That's what the showbread represented. It was the presence, the bread of the presence. And Jesus, watch this, exemplified this in Mark 2. Mark 2, 16 says, "But when the teachers of religious law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners," sharing meals, right? Willing to enter into friendship with people by breaking bread. It says, "They asked the disciples, why does he eat with such scum?" So remember that. The showbread was about presence with God and giving an open invitation to all people that you could experience God's presence and fellowship with him. And then Jesus broke bread with tax collectors and sinners. He was willing to be around them. He was willing to be in relationship with them. Everybody with me? If the only friends that you have are in this room or go to a church somewhere, you got to start getting outside the walls. You got to start having friends that don't know Jesus. You got to have friends that, you know, if you were to start sharing about Jesus, they might get kind of weirded out because they don't really know about Jesus yet, right? Jesus said himself, sick people need a doctor, not well people. So if we got the very doctor, right, we heard it earlier, Jehovah Rapha, our healer, right? We have him living inside of us. Do you realize that? If you've accepted Jesus and you would say, yes, I'm a believer. I believe in Jesus. He's living on the inside. It's not just his long hair and beard and sandals represented on the inside. It's the full endowment and the full anointing of God residing inside of you. So you are the doctor to the sick world. Just like Jesus said, well, people don't need a doctor, sick people do. So what does that mean? That means that you are the doctor to the sick and the hurting out there. You are the Jesus and the representation of the love of God to the people out there. Because guess what? The people in here should have some kind of grasp on it. I'm not saying go out clubbing and doing all those kind of things and don't go get drunk just to have fellowship. And obviously, that would be ridiculous and that would be ignorant for me to ever say that. But you should have friends that, you know, maybe they're not willing to come to church yet. That's awesome. If that's you, man, keep doing it. Keep doing that. But bread has a spiritual significance. Luke 22:19 says, he took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So now we see Jesus taking it to the next level. He's breaking bread. He's enjoying bread with people. He's eating of the bread and sharing the bread with other people. But then he says, this bread is my body. And this is whenever we see Jesus take the bread to a whole nother level spiritually. And he says, hey, this bread, this is like me. Do this and you'll remember me. Do this and you'll remember what I'm about to do shortly. Do this and you'll remember the sacrifice that I'm about to make for you, Peter, for you, James, for you, John, for all of them. The bread represents spiritual provision. You know, Jesus told the devil whenever he was being tempted, he told the devil, he said, man does not live on bread alone, but also by every word that what? Proceeds from the mouth of God. So now we see Jesus showing us that the bread and the word of God is the two things that cause man to have life, right? The bread and the word of God go together. The natural bread and now the spiritual bread, we're beginning to see this correlation, this connection, and the word of God are the two things that give us life. Could it be that Jesus was wanting us to understand that daily bread is not just a natural thing that we're asking from God for our clothing and our food and money and all those kind of things, but what if it was something spiritual too? Maybe some of you have been dealing with some mindsets and some thought processes that have been destructive, right? Maybe you're dealing with depression or battling with self-esteem issues. And, you know, maybe you've been praying with us through the Lord's Prayer. Maybe you've been praying, Lord, give me this day, this daily bread. Lord, I need some finances. I need to pay my rent. But God is saying, I want you to ask for the daily word from me that is very bread and life to that situation. You've been dealing with issues in your body. You've been dealing with issues in your family. Ask me for daily bread. Ask me for a piece of the bread of life so that I can insert it into that situation and see it changed. That's what God is wanting us to understand. And so in John 6:32, and we'll close with this. Jesus is talking about the bread, and he's talking about Moses, and he's talking about the children of Israel. And how many of you know that the Old Testament has types and shadows of Jesus throughout? Everybody understand that? If you don't, we'll talk more about that. Keep coming back to the bridge. Keep watching. Keep logging on. But everything that Jesus talked about, everything that Jesus did was in some way prophesied, was in some way talked about or illustrated in the Old Testament. He was just the full revealing of it. He was the full illustration of it. He made it so that we could understand fully what God was trying to say and what God was trying to do in the Old Testament. Right? Everybody with me on that? So in John 6:32, we see Jesus bringing it all together. And he's talking about bread, and he's talking about Moses, and he's talking about the Israelites. And he says in verse 32, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. Always remember that. A man is not your provision. Even if he's the one signing your paycheck, even if he's the one handing you money to bless you, it's ultimately from God. So although we say thank you, although, you know, we honor and respect our bosses and our leaders and all those kind of things, ultimately it's God. That's what Jesus is saying here. He's wanting to keep our perspective in alignment with who God is. It says, and now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread from heaven. Verse 33, the true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And so the people there listening, they're like, sir, give us this bread every day. We want this bread. This sounds amazing. Bread that gives life. I'll take some of that. I'll take a double portion. And watch how Jesus replies. He's like, come on, guys. When are you going to get it? He says, I am the bread of life. Not manna from heaven, not stuff that you can scoop out of the ground or make together and bake an oven. I am the bread of life. I am the very thing that gives you life, not man. I am the very thing that gives you bread, not man. I'm the reason that you have food. I'm the reason that you can have healing, not doctors, not your pantry, not Walmart. God uses Walmart. God uses doctors. That's not what I'm saying, but it's ultimately God. Everybody with me. He goes on to say, whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So some of you came in here tonight hungry. I believe that's why you're here. Some of you may not even know why you're here. God knows. It's because you're hungry for something. Maybe you're thirsty for something. Maybe you've tried to fill in those voids and filled in those places and those hungers and those thirsts after things. Maybe you've tried to fill it in with people. Maybe a girl, maybe a guy. Maybe a certain, you know, kind of phone or a certain type of clothing or, you know, by being a certain weight or having a certain hair color. Maybe you've tried to fill in those hungers and those thirsts. But I can almost guarantee you, if you were to be honest with yourself, this is a place of honesty here. If you were to be honest with yourself, how good are you doing at it? How much is that hunger filled? How much is that thirst quenched? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And if you'll come to me, if you'll eat of me, you'll never hunger again, you'll never thirst again. So watch how Jesus wraps it up in John 6 and verse 47. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. You see the difference? Bread versus manna. Manna gives life only because you have to keep eating it. It only gives natural life. But Jesus says, I am the bread of life, and whoever eats this bread from heaven will never die. So let me put it in easy terms for you. If you have never made Jesus the Lord of your life, he is the bread that will quench your hunger and quench your thirst, and you will never hunger again, you'll never thirst again, and you'll have life everlasting. Because God sent Jesus as the perfect sacrifice, as the perfect, the Bible uses some big words, I'm just going to make it easy for you. Can I do that? I'll make it easy for you. God sent Jesus in your place. Pastor Dara earlier was talking about she's never seen the righteous forsaken. And as she said that, I just had a picture of Jesus hanging on the cross whenever he said, Father, why have you forsaken me? And some people have a real issue with that. They go, man, if God loves, how could he have done that to Jesus? It's really simple. Focus. God forsake Jesus so that he would never have to forsake you. God turned his face away from Jesus because all of our sin, all of our junk, all of our trash was hanging on Jesus, and God could not look at it. So he turned his face away from Jesus, and Jesus went into hell, the very place that we deserved. Every single one of us, Pastor Donnie, Pastor Dara, every single person in this room and watching online and all around the world deserved hell without Jesus. But he stood in our place. And God said, I gotta forsake my son. That's why I sent him. Because I don't ever want to have to turn my face from my kids. I don't ever want to have to have broken relationship with my children. I don't want to have static in the lines when my kids are trying to connect with me and I'm trying to connect with them. How many of you know there's no dropped calls with God? Whenever you send a text message to God, He always gets it. He always gets it. And He doesn't take long with those three little bubbles waiting to write back either. So this is time for a complete honesty. Again, this is a place of honesty. No judgment, no condemnation, but honesty. Matter of fact, everybody stand up with me. Give us this day our daily bread. I think the more that we come to the realization and the revelation that as we say that, we're not just saying stuff. We're not just saying needs, but we're saying our wants. And then we're saying what we have need for spiritually. The issues that we deal with in our mind whenever we lay in bed at night thinking, man, I don't know if I know what I'm called to do. I don't know if I know what I'm supposed to be doing or who I'm supposed to be with or where I'm supposed to be living. All of that is wrapped up in give us this day our daily bread. So I want to ask you a question. And again, be honest. Doesn't do any of us any good unless you're honest with yourself. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm asking you a question. Do you know for sure? Do you know for absolutely sure that you've decided to partake of the bread of life that is Jesus? Are you sure that you know Him, not just about Him? Are you sure that you have a relationship with Him and not just a knowledge about Him? Because Jesus is not about knowing about Him. That's not what this thing is about. God didn't want people that just had a head knowledge of who He was, but He wanted a people that were in relationship with Him, a real life relationship that He could talk to you and you could talk to Him and you could hear Him and you could feel Him. That's what God wanted. Do you have that with Him in this place and those of you watching online? Do you have that? Have you made that decision to accept the bread of life? And so if you haven't, I want you to be honest with yourself and say, do you know that you need it? I believe God is tugging on hearts all in this room and all online. I believe there's things that Jesus wants to do in your life, but He can't do it until you accept Him and you give Him access into those places. Some of you, maybe you are a Christian. Maybe you've given Him your life and you've said, yes, Jesus, I want you. But maybe there's an area that you're still holding back on Him. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to be honest. If you're a believer and you would say, there's some area of my life that I've held back and maybe I haven't given it fully to Jesus. Nobody's looking around. I just want you to shoot your hand up. Just in an act of honesty. Just in an act of you and God. Just saying, God, yes, I'm willing to be open. I'm willing to be honest with you, God. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. And now for those of you that have never decided to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Matter of fact, for everybody in here that's already decided that, we're going to pray it with those people to make it less weird for them. Just repeat this prayer after me. Say, dear Jesus, I believe You are the Son of God. I believe You came for me to die for my sins and purchase my eternity, to have a relationship with You. So I make the decision today. And I partake of the bread of life. And I accept You as my Savior. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. And amen. Can we give a hand clap to Jesus? Can we just worship Him and say, thank You, Jesus. I believe this is how God wants us to end tonight. You know, we talk a lot about community around here. We talk a lot about the Acts 2 church. And if you want to go look it up, I encourage you to do that. Meditate on Acts 2 and the whole chapter, but specifically at the end. It talks about community. It talks about what church should look like. And guess what? It doesn't give a building parameters of four walls and a steeple. It's talking about people. It's talking about how they interacted with each other. That's what the church is. It's not a building. It's you. So we're gonna exercise church tonight. We're going to be church tonight and we're going to pray for one another. We're going to pair off into groups of four or five, and we're gonna pray for each other. And again, with honesty, we gotta learn to trust one another. Some of you, this is gonna stretch you. Some of you, this is, you don't wanna do this already. I hear you, I see it, I feel it. Some of you do not wanna do this, but because of that reason, it's the very thing that you need to do. It's the very thing that God would say, step outside your normal boundaries and your comfort zone and experience more of God. How many of you wanna experience more of God? I believe that this is one way that he wants to do this. So in just a moment, the band's gonna play over you a song of worship, and I want you to pair up into groups of four or five. And we're gonna take turns and go around in just a couple words, because we don't wanna beleaguer this and take a lot of time, but in a few words, just say what you need prayer for. It could be, you know, my mom is sick. It could be, you know, this is going on at home. I need financial something or something in my body. Just, that's all you need to do. Go around the circle, and once we've done that, everybody, pay attention to what those people are saying. How can you pray for somebody if you don't pay attention, right? Communication is not about talking and listening. It's about connecting. And praying is about connecting with God. Praying with others is about connecting to what they have need of and you being a conduit through God getting it to them. So pay attention. And I want all of you to pray. And pray loud enough for everybody in your group to hear. Pray at the same time. Go down the list. I pray for this person. I pray for that person. I pray for this person. And then when you're done, I want you to come up here to the altar and I want you to thank God, because we know that he is the bread of life and we know that he's given us provision for every one of those things. Amen? Amen. Go ahead and break up, guys.